Well, good evening. I'd like us to look at the New Testament tonight. In the book of Genesis. And I'd like to read in chapter 41. Chapter 41 of the book of Genesis. And I'm just going to pick out odd verses. I hope you don't mind me doing that. Chapter 41 of the book of Genesis. And verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years, that means 2 full years of Joseph's imprisonment, that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Now, I'm sure that many of you know the dream that Pharaoh had about the 7 fat cattle and the 7 lean cattle and the 7 full ears and the 7 thin ears. And Pharaoh was perplexed when he tried to analyze what his dream meant. And so there was brought to him this young man, this young Hebrew man called Joseph. And we're going to carry on reading about Joseph in verse 25 of chapter 41. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. And so Joseph explains the dream to Pharaoh, that there is going to be 7 good years and then 7 years of famine. Now let's move over to verse 33 of the same chapter. And Joseph is speaking to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he says, now therefore let Pharaoh seek out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. I should have read verse 32. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh seek out a man discreet and wise. And then let's move down the chapter a little bit to verse 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God hath shown thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house. Then verse 43. And Pharaoh made Joseph to ride in the 2nd chariot, which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And verse 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. Let's move over now to verse 55. The famine by this time, the 7 good years have passed. And Joseph in those years has collected all the grain that is possible to gather. And now the famine has arrived. And then we read in verse 55, in the midst of the famine and the people are clamoring for food and bread, they come to Pharaoh, verse 55, and when all the land of Egypt was famished, and the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses. And all countries came unto Egypt to Joseph to buy grain. That's all we're going to read in that book. I want, of course, just to add one little verse to all of that. And we read that in John chapter 6. Here we are. So in chapter 6, verse 35, verse 34, then the people said unto him, Jesus, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That's our reading tonight, and we do trust that God will bless us together as we think about these verses that we've read. But sometimes when we're confronted by someone who says, do you know some so-and-so? And you say, no, I'm sorry, I don't know that person whom you're talking about. Oh, you're bound to know him. You're bound to know him. He's just like so-and-so whom you know. Yeah, right, okay, I do know that person. Well, this person I'm telling you about is just like him. And so we're thinking tonight about Joseph, the Christ-like man. Joseph, the Christ-like man. And you know, Christ-likeness is something that God wants every one of us to be like. Every one of us must be Christ-like. If you ever enter into the heaven of God and into the family of God, then we've got to be Christ-like. And the only way that we can become Christ-like is the way that the Lord Jesus said, you must be born again. He said, you must be born again, and he meant it. He meant it. Anyhow, we're going to consider this man, Joseph, the Christ-like man. And we're going to compare him, contrast him to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's not so much Joseph that we want you to know about, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we've got to think about Joseph being loved of the Father. We read about that in Genesis 37, when we read how that Joseph was brought up into a family. There were 10 brothers at that time, and we read how that Jacob loved Joseph. Jacob loved Joseph. In fact, we read that now Israel, that was Jacob's other name, now Israel loved Joseph. And so there it was. Right from the very beginning, here was a boy whom his father loved. Here was a son whom the father loved. And I want to think about that because, you see, I read in the New Testament how that God's son is his beloved son, the loved of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's son, is the beloved of God. There was a day when the Lord Jesus Christ went down to the River Jordan, and there he was baptized in that river by John the Baptist. And we read how that the heavens were opened, and the Spirit of God descended like a in dove-like form and rested upon him, and there was a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus Christ, the beloved Son. You know, he was beloved of the Father. If we read in the book of Proverbs chapter 8, we'll read, he was as one brought up with thee. He was daily God's delight. Daily God's delight. And that's speaking about him as he was before he ever entered into this world. We know that he did come into the world, he became a man. He became a boy, he became a babe in arms, he became a boy, he became a man. But he was still the Father's Son, still beloved of the Father. The Father looked upon him with affection. He was indeed the one who would do the Father's will. And we respond to people who respond to us. That's true, isn't it? Well, you see, he responded to his Father God. He says, I do always the things that please the Father. And he could say that he upheld the royal law, the great commandment. He loved the Lord God with all his heart, with all his mind, and with all his soul. And he loved his neighbor as himself. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. God said, this is my beloved Son. And then he speaks about him as his servant. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mighty length, in whom my soul delighteth. So he is the loved of the Father. Joseph was loved of Jacob. God loved his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we read in chapter 37 again that Joseph was sent by his father. He was a sent one. And we read how that Jacob spoke to Joseph and he says, go and find out how your brethren fare. I'll send you, he said, to your brethren. And he was a sent one of Joseph. He was sent out into the fields to find and look for his brethren. Joseph was sent. And so was the Lord Jesus Christ. We read how that in Galatians we read these words, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son to redeem. To redeem. Joseph was sent out to find out the welfare of his brothers. But here was one who was sent forth to redeem. The fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son to redeem them. To redeem who? To redeem you and I. Redeem the people of this world. Redeem those who are under the plague of sin. Every one of us, of course, is a sinner in the eyes of a holy God. And so he was sent of the Father. And we remember again another word that John speaks about, that he was a sent one of the Father. John's letter, his epistle. Then we read again how that Joseph, yes, he was sent to his brethren, but we read how that Joseph was hated by his brethren. And again we read in Genesis 37, verse 4, his brethren, they hated him. They hated him. And of course, our Lord Jesus Christ, we read how that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. His own received him not. He came to his own people, he came to his own things, but they received him not. They rejected him. They rejected him. He was hated by his brethren. In the Psalms we read these words, when shall he die and his name perish? At no time, his brethren had no time for Joseph. This world had no time for the Savior, for the Lord Jesus Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Then we read again about Joseph, how that they sold him for silver. And we read again in Genesis 37, verse 28, they sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. They sold him as a slave, who would then be taken into Egypt and resold at a profit. They sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. But we read about the Savior. Matthew 26. Judas is the speaker. I will deliver him unto you. And they bargained with Judas for 50 pieces of silver. They bargained with Judas for 50 pieces of silver. You know, silver and gold as something that the world covets. But remember the words of Peter as he was going with John up into the temple at the hour of prayer, and they meet that man who was lying at the gate of the temple. He said to them, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but that which I do have." What did he have? He had the Christ of God. He had the Christ of God. "Silver and gold have I none, but that which I have will I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He delivered him. "I will deliver him unto you," and he bargained with him for 30 pieces of silver. The Lord speaks about riches. He says, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Then Joseph was tempted. He was tempted. We read of that in Genesis 39. He's tempted and allured by a woman in the household in which he was a slave. And we read how that Joseph's reply to her was this: "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So Joseph was tempted. He was a young man. He was a young man of vigor. He was a young man, I believe, a good-looking young man. But there it was. He was tempted. And he said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted. We read about that in Matthew chapter 4. Satan comes and tempts him during those days of his fasting in the wilderness. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Satan comes to him and says, "If thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God." Surely, if all anyone knew who the Son of God was, it was Satan. Why should he say, "If thou be the Son of God"? He knew who he was. But you see, here was his temptation. "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And Jesus answers him with these words: "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." More important than even our daily bread is to know God's will and God's word for us. Then we read again how that Joseph suffered. Joseph suffered. We know that Joseph was put into prison falsely, wrongly. And Psalm 105 speaks about that. It says, "Whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron." Joseph's feet. "Whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron." Think of the feet of Joseph. They were feet that were always doing service for others. Because when he was in the prison, he became a servant to all those who were around him, helping in every way. That they put his feet in irons. And so he suffered. But remember the sufferings of the Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 27, "And when he had Pilate, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." Peter also writes about him and says, "For Christ also has suffered once, the just for the unjust." He suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. Christ suffered for us to bring us to God. Then we read again how that Joseph, he made provision. He made provision. We read in Genesis 41 that Joseph gathered grain as the sand of the sea. He made provision. He made provision for the people. And I'm thinking about the provision that the Lord Jesus Christ made. You read how that in Matthew 20 he says, the Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. He gave his life a ransom for many. Oh yes, we've been reading about, thinking about his sufferings. He suffered even unto death. But in his suffering and in his death, he made provision. He made provision of eternal life to all those who would believe on his name. Joseph was given a name. And I know that we're getting now a wee bit difficult in balancing these things out. In Genesis chapter 41, we read how that Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, which means the Savior of the world. He was the Savior of the world of that day. Because, you see, these were famine conditions in those days. The people lacked bread. The people were dying without bread. Joseph was the Savior of the world. Not only Egypt, but we were reading how that the nations round about came to Joseph, and he made provision for them. He was given a name, the Savior of the world. And of course, when we think of that name, surely our minds go back to Matthew chapter 1. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Remember John chapter 4, the woman at the well. And she eventually goes and tells the men of that place, come see a man that told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they came and they heard him. And they said to the woman, we know that what you said is the truth, but now we've heard him. We don't need to hear you any longer. They more or less said, now we know he is the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. And then we read how that Joseph provided bread. We read in these verses that I read to you how that the people came to Pharaoh looking for bread, begging for bread. They were at their wit's end. But what did Pharaoh say? He was the ruler of that day. He was the power of that day, yes. But he said, go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. What he saith to you, do. What he saith to you, do. Go to Joseph. This evening, this night, we're in the gospel meeting here and we're saying to this, not to go to any Joseph on earth, but go to the heavenly man, the heavenly Joseph. Because we remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, come unto me, all you that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we read in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Notice that. The person that comes and the person that believes, if they come and they believe, if they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and if they believe his word and his works, they shall have eternal life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. Finally, we read how that Joseph is exalted. In Genesis 41, again we read how that they cried before him, bow the knee, bow the knee. And I'm sure that that occasion was a great occasion in Egypt when this Hebrew slave, this one who was a servant, became a ruler, and they had to bow the knee before him. I'm thinking of the one who became the slave, the servant of Jehovah, and who now is exalted because he has passed through death. He has indeed gloriously confounded our every foe, and now he's exalted. And we read in Philippians, it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is exalted. We know that indeed our Lord Jesus Christ ascended to the right hand of the Majesty on high. He is exalted. He has been given the preeminence. That is his right, and that is his due. God has said so. He shall rule, he shall reign in righteousness. He is the Lord of glory. And he's the one that we bring before you tonight, that you might put your faith and trust in him and believe on him. He'll provide you not with bread for your stomach, he'll provide you with that eternal life through faith, believing upon him. Or when we think again of those words of our God, spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're going to close with a hymn, 184. 184. It speaks about a glorious invitation. Thou callest me to the feast. Each soul is now invited, the greatest and the least. Come all ye heavy burdened, with sorrow or with care, today you are invited. Your burden Christ will bear. Hymn 184, and I think we've time to sing the three verses with the chorus. Just keeping our seats. Thank you. Father, we thank Thee for the glorious provision made for every individual, for every sinner. We think of the Father of the provision made by God in the person of Thy dear Son. We're thinking tonight, O Father God, of a Savior who made reconciliation for mankind, that we might indeed be received of God, that we might indeed be clothed with the garments of salvation. How we thank Thee for that. And so, Father, tonight we thank Thee for one who has gone through death, and who was indeed buried, and who again rose in triumph or from the tomb, and is now seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So, Father, we just again pray that we, each and every one of us, may take this one, take him as Lord and Savior, believing on his name, trusting in him for our eternal welfare. So we ask thy blessing now as we part and go our several ways. May thy blessing be upon us, we pray thee, in our Savior's name. Amen.